is good. Welcome back, Kings, Queens, everything in betweens, to another episode of the Peasant Party Podcast. I am your host, Charlotte Warren. My friend Casey's here again. To my right, Casey, say what's up.
I'm Casey, and I'm your favorite gay man's favorite lesbian.
That is a great intro. See?
Yeah, that works.
You came up with that on the fly. Casey was like, I don't know how to introduce myself. Casey's been on this show before, so I feel like you don't have to do that crazy of an intro as to who you are.
I mean, it depends.
What's new with you?
Not a whole lot, honestly. I'm just happy I survived the pink pony, girl so confusing, what is it, espresso lunch brat summer. Because that was chaotic.
Really?
Oh my gosh, the summer
was... Is summer over yet? It's not the 21st night of September yet. It's not technically over.
Once September hits, it's over to me.
Don't say that.
Well, I'm sorry, but this summer was a lot. Between like pop music, just like honing in on the gays, and my 30th, I'm just exhausted.
Oh yeah, you celebrated your 30th birthday. I attended it. How was it?
It was a treat. I mean, I will say a barge with like, what was it, 30 to 40 people on there. Some might say like that's a lot. Was there any drama? Like, no, everyone just vibing.
Yeah.
That was my favorite part. Minus the bugs. Our boat dude like docked.
What? Yeah, I don't know why we docked there. That was an interesting choice.
It was because the big barges, they don't go to Devil's Cove.
Right.
And so I just said, you know what? Go wherever your heart takes you, man. Like, that's what I told the captain. I was like, go where you feel like we need to go. And he's like, okay. And I guess he felt like we needed bugs. And we got bugs. That's for damn sure.
Yeah. I think it was fun. I think everyone died, though, by the end. Like, everyone was dead.
Oh, I passed out. Not, like, passed out. But, like, I was dead and tired and fell asleep by 7:30 that day.
Yeah, I think I did too. Or where did we go? Oh yeah, we got Cabo Bob's on the way home, and then we had to fly to Miami the next day, and I fucking hate Miami. Like, I don't like Miami as a city. I went for like a work trip, so I wasn't there long. Just my update, I did not enjoy Miami. I just didn't like it.
I've never been, but I've heard it's like one hell of a party when you go. Like, it's just party when you're there.
It's just like, I'm trying to think of like what I thought of it, because like my sister likes Miami. Like, I like the beach. I don't know what it was. I just didn't like it. I don't know. Like, I've been to New Orleans. I think New Orleans is cool and interesting. I like Charleston. I think that's cool and interesting. I like New York. I wouldn't want to live in New York, but I like New York. I like San Diego. Mm-hmm. I don't like Miami. I don't know. Just like I didn't like Indianapolis, but two very different things. I hated Indianapolis.
I mean, Indianapolis is so random.
I had to go there for a work trip.
See, I was going to ask, is it because it's like crowded why you don't like Miami? But like all the other ones are just as crowded.
I didn't like how it was, everything felt spread out in club. Like, you had to go into like random little clubs, and it was like,
it's like Vegas.
Yeah. Well, I don't love Vegas either. Like, on the scheme of things, it's just every time I go, it's like for an event of sorts. So it's not really like, let's go explore Vegas. But
that's probably not my cup of tea either. I'm more of like mountains or quaint beach.
Love a quaint beach.
I mean,
I will fuck with a quaint beach.
I do the clubs occasionally, but that's when I'm with my chaos gays. They know how to have a good time, and I love them for that.
What are the best vacation cities for gays?
What's that one town in Florida? St. Petersburg is supposed to be like super gay.
Mm-hmm.
I know Pensacola, Florida has like the best pride ever. Let's see. There's also Provincetown, Connecticut.
Okay.
It's known for being gay. San Francisco.
Yeah.
Like, of course. Austin on occasion. I mean, they're kind of like sporadically around the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
New Orleans is supposed to be fun for the gays too. Can't say I've ever been. I need to start traveling more. That's the thing.
You should.
I need to. I want to go to all the spooky towns.
Do it. It's almost spooky season.
I'm so ready for witchy sapphic fall.
Ooh.
Like, I just want my flannel. I want all my witch movies. And I just want like the cooler weather, even though we only get it for like a week until it's freezing.
Nice. That will be nice. What's your favorite? What's the gayest scary movie?
Well, I mean, you can't really put that into like a, because I mean, every movie that involves like witches or something like that has something very sapphic about it. Because mm-hmm. I mean, you look at Practical Magic, for me, like, who is Gillian Owens and Sally Owens from that movie just made me like have an awakening. And then you have like, God, the Grand Supreme, Sarah mm-hmm. Paulson in American Horror Story.
Yes.
Then
anything Ryan Murphy is gonna have its themes.
Oh yeah, he's very inclusive like that. Very weird, but very inclusive, and I appreciate that. Yes. And then of course the Hex Girls from Scooby Doo and the Witch's Ghost. Come yes. on now, like everyone's first like.
Have you seen that Saw has its own like very gay musical? It's like Saw the Musical, but it's like gay themes because it's been like a whole thing in the Saw franchise has the best fan base in the entire world.
I don't get it. I don't like Saw.
Oh, I love Saw.
I guess I just never got past the first one to be like, yeah.
No, Saw 3, everyone thinks that Amanda and Lynn Denlin, like, there's a whole fan fiction about it. Like, the woman that he brings through and whatever, it's like a whole thing. And then, of course, like, everyone loves Adam from the first one. There's like, yeah, the Saw the Musical is like the big gay musical, and it's like off-Broadway and everything now.
See?
I want to see it.
I saw a video about the Broadway Saw, and I was like, that has to be a joke. But I guess it's real, coming from like the source itself. It's real.
I mean, how like gory can you get on stage though? So I feel like if it comes through Austin, we have to go.
Okay, I'll give it a chance. I'll see Rocky Horror, like when they do those productions at the Paramount. But I won't. I don't know what it is about Saul. It's just all it is just gore. I guess there's mystery and suspense.
The traps are really cool.
Yeah, the closest I've gotten to realizing like the Saw traps is watching Scary Movie, what was it, 2, mm-hmm. when Shaq was in there and he had to saw his leg off or something. He saw the wrong leg off. Mm-hmm. But like, other than that, like, I don't know what other traps are involved with Saw.
Yeah, I feel like it's those are cool because like there's no jump scares or anything. Like, you know exactly when the gore starts and ends. Like, there's never like a blah, like scary. It's like, okay, we're going to start the trap now. So if you're not into it, you can be like, okay, I'm going to cover my eyes. And then you can literally hear the screaming, and then they'll end, and you can be like, okay, cool, it's done.
I need the suspenseful mixed with the gore, like in Long Legs. Like, mm-hmm. that was great. Weird. It was weird. It was weird, and it's quotable. And that's because of Nicolas Cage, I will say that.
Yes, I think they tried to do too much.
But I think that's what any indie film is. Like, they want to do too much, but also leave you like, what the hell just happened?
Yeah, I feel like they had to pick a lane. They either had to go this, like, go full serial killer or go full demon. And I wish they would have gone more like serial killer route, just because there's so many fucking movies that are just like, we're gonna do the demon thing. And I'm bored of demons. I find demons boring. Like, show me, I'm scared of actual humans.
No, I get that. No, none of the paranormal stuff is really scary to me anymore, but that's because I kind of lived in a haunted house.
What? Yeah, well, you can't just drop that and, like...
Dude, or is it? It's a long story. It's where my parents are now. We moved there, like, my junior year of high school, and it was my mother's sister-in-law's house. She was an artist. She passed away tragically. Mm-hmm. And when we moved in, weird things started happening. Like, my dad would hear whistling to music, and then he'd think it's a friend coming to help him, like, restore some of the house, and the whistling would stop. My sister saw keys fly off the wall of the key holder. I've heard footsteps coming down the hallway when, like, no one's home and the dogs are outside. And when we'd take pictures around the house, like, when we'd have, like, family gatherings and stuff like that, we'd see like these random orbs in the picture, and the orbs would have like a smiley face in them.
Interesting. How old's the house?
It was built in like the 50s, and there was like another lady that had lived there before, and I think she might have died in the house. I'm not really sure about that, but there's always be weird things. And one of my dogs that we no longer have, she was like older, but she would just stare at a corner. Yeah. Just stare at it. And I'm like, okay, Roxy, what are you looking at? Come on now. Why are you growling at nothing?
Yeah.
So that's kind of like what I grew up with. And then after we had like this big art expo for her to honor her and everything, like the activity just stopped.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's wild. I've always like wanted to live in a haunted house, but...
Dude, there's plenty of haunted places to stay. Like, have you stayed 100%. At the Driscoll?
I've heard about I feel like the ghosts there sound boring. It's just like, oh, there's a person who goes looking for keys. Like, I want someone who's gonna like fuck my shit up.
like stay in like Salem at one of the
bed and breakfasts
there.
That or like, I don't know, something else. Like I'm like, bring on the crazy. I don't know.
Love that.
Questions. I guess I'll lead with the, I don't know, like to, they've asked a loaded question. Is Eiffel Towering gay? I have to ask you.
Okay, so, I mean, it's an erect structure with dazzling light shows. Celine Dion was there for the Olympics. I mean, that's pretty gay. Might be a queen, too, if you ask me.
No, but, like, the sex position. Okay, it's a threesome. Two guys, one girl, threesome.
The devil's threesome?
Devil triangle is what some people call it, except because of the shape, they call it the Eiffel Tower.
Okay.
But the thing is, I get this listener question, because you're still touching a dude, and you're looking at him. Like, yes, you are, but, like, is that gay?
I feel like it could be bisexual, but also, who initiated the high five first?
Is it just a natural thing to do to, like, stand up straight?
I mean, if you're trying to get leverage, sure, but if there's eye contact, if you're just like, bro, look at me in this moment, that's questionable. I feel like it's a segue. It's definitely a segue, because it's pretty bi.
Yeah.
Has to be.
Is it incest if you do it with your uncle?
Yeah, well, of course. Of course.
That is literally the listener question. The listener question is, and so I don't, because I make little dumb TikTok poems. You've probably seen a few of them. And one of them is like, don't have sex with your cousins. And because of this, I get listener questions that are, is this thing incest or not? This is literally the question. Is it gay if a guy does an Eiffel Tower? Also, is it incest if he does it with his uncle by marriage as the other man with woman unrelated to them?
I don't know, y'all. Family's family to me. That's going to make the next Christmas or Thanksgiving function real weird.
Well, you know what's, like, crazy? It's, like, so in college, like, do you remember, like, LMFAO?
Mm-hmm.
So that's an uncle-nephew duo.
I gotcha.
Yeah, way back in the day, though. No, I knew two girls in college who, like, did Eiffel Towers with LMFAO.
Oh, Lord. All I want to ask in return is, were the holidays weird after that?
I don't know. I mean, the LMFAO guys are pretty weird. I love how they fucked off to outer space, though, and just they made party rock anthem, and now they're out of here.
The LMFAO dudes were, like, the ones with, like, the glasses and the cheetah jacket.
Yeah.
The
I'm in Miami, bitch.
Okay, yeah, no.
Well, I guess they're in Paris.
They were...
Didn't nephews in Paris.
Nephews in...
That was nephews in Paris.
In the Eiffel Tower.
What other buildings are gay?
Yeah, I've thought about this. I don't know. The giant silver bean in Chicago.
Yeah, what's that?
I don't know, but I mean, you have so many jokes to come off of that one, like the bean. My friends went to Chicago recently, and I was like, oh my God, that statue is there. I was like, can you go and touch the bean for me?
That's gross.
I know. It sounds gross, but in my head, I was like, butta-cha, that's butta-cha.
What about the Washington Monument?
Oh, that's straight as hell. That's
like brutal as Burj Khalifa.
Do what?
Burj Khalifa, the one in Dubai, the tallest one, it just keeps going up.
I feel like that one's straight with a point to prove.
True. Mm-hmm. Well, it's just typical Dubai. They've always got points to prove.
I don't know. They always have to prove themselves. Stop trying to prove yourself. Just be. Stay strong. Like, I was talking about that with my friends yesterday. Like, where were you and all that? I was in first grade. I had, like, nightmares about Osama bin Laden for the next, like, 3 weeks after that. Because I snuck into the, like, living room and, like, peeked at the news and his picture came up. Nightmares after that.
Well, I remember it too, because I was in the third grade and I was in California, so I was younger, and I would like, my grandmother is like my mom speaks like fluent German and everything, and like I woke up and I hear my mom like talking in German on the phone before I like had to go to school that day, and I look on the TV and I see, because I'd been to New York and like the Twin Towers, they were in everything, like you knew the Twin Towers, and I just see like the smoke on the TV, and I was like, Mom, what's, and she's like oh, a plane hit. Like, we thought it was an accident. And then the second one hit, and then I just remember, like, just the screaming, and it was, like, And I did not understand what was going on, but it was like the planes flew into it. And then I remember seeing the people on the TV. That's why I never, that's why, like, to this day, well, I mean, I have my house now, but, like, I would not, I refuse to live in tall buildings. It makes me think of 9/11.
I mean, I just think of every, like, suspenseful action movie where buildings get crushed by aliens. But, yeah, that too. That too. Were you homeschooled?
No, I was, it was, like, 7 a.m. or something when it happened. And then I went to school at, like, 8.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I went to school that day, and the teachers didn't really know what to tell the kids. I don't know.
Didn't 9/11 happen at 9/11 and not 7? Wait, I'm thinking, you know what? There's time zones.
Yes. So it was...
ADD break.
It happened at, like, yeah, 6, 7 a.m. for me.
That is wild.
Yeah. But, no, it's, like, it's crazy. And, like, I know people that, like, grew up in, like, the Northeast, and how, like, they had, like, parents who were, like, pilots and stuff. And, like, I've met people whose family members, like, died in 9/11, and it's, like, very...
That's horrible.
I went to the museum when I went to New York with my little brother, who was born literally a month after. And, like, took him in the museum because he, like, wasn't alive for 9/11. And then it was, like, very sad. I was, like, oh, my gosh. And then, like, I turn around, and I just hear sniffling. My brother's, like, sobbing. And my brother is not a crier. He's, like, the most, like, bro 23-year-old. He's just, like, I just didn't know. And I was, like, I gave him a big hug. But it was so sad.
It was really sad. I know. God bless. God bless this country, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, we don't have to keep talking about it. Like, I was
oh, my God, crying. Sorry. Oh, my God. I'm, like, I'm just, like, bantering back and forth. WLW, gotta love the women who love women.
Mm-hmm.
The mailbag question is, how do I get my mom to stop calling my girlfriend my very special friend? Woman loving woman, girlfriend and I are both 28, have been together 8 months. She is perfect. She is not the problem. The problem is my mom. My mom calls my girlfriend my very special friend. I hate it. She's done this since high school, even before I was out with, like, guy dance dates. Back then, I'd roll my eyes and ask her to stop, and she'd laugh and say to let it go since she meant it to be cute. But it bugged, and I thought it would end when I was older. But today she still does it, and has with all girlfriends I've had leading up to this. The few times I've corrected her to say girlfriend, she got huffy and said I need to stop letting semantics bother me. I have really tried to do that, but my cousin got married recently and my entire family went to Cancun for a week. I brought my girlfriend, all the cousins who had significant others brought them. While my extended family knows I'm gay, this was the first time I'd introduced a significant other in person. On the trip, my mom kept calling my girlfriend my very special friend, both to her face and as well as how she would introduce her to all the relatives. And then after this, aunts, uncles, and grandparents were calling her my special friend all week. When they'd address my cousin's significant others, many who are my age, they'd use boyfriend, girlfriend, fiance, wife, husband titles. Special friends seemed to be reserved for me. At this point, I've really had it. I'm not sensitive at all, but I feel like my relationship is invalidated here. I know my mom isn't using special friend because I'm gay or trying to make a larger statement. She does this when discussing my straight friends, partners, even to this day, but I'm not sure that's how my relatives understand it. I'm the only gay person in my extended family, and while my parents have been great, I'm still not sure the rest of my family understands. I think they might be using special friend the way same-sex romantic partners were historically referred to as friends or roommates as a way of hiding their relationships. Regardless of my mom's intent, I feel like it set the tone for how my family will treat me and my girlfriend going forward. How do I get my mom to stop doing this for good and potentially fix the mess she made? Added context, I'm an only child, so there's no hetero sibling with a partner available to receive the same treatment and communicate special friend isn't a gay thing. My mom and dad as well love my girlfriend. They're extremely kind to her. And they like her more than all my past girlfriends. She's in med school to be a pediatrician. She's basically a saint, has been so understanding through this. My mom was also accepting of me coming out and being gay, so I don't think that's the issue, but she can be an out-of-touch boomer and has to be told what's not okay. Help.
Dude, if anyone can relate to that, it's me. I mean, I'm lucky enough to where I do have, like, a sister to where I can, like, talk to her about all like anything and everything, and she'll ask me about my dating life and call my girlfriend, stuff like that. But no, like, my mom, God love her, and she has come a long way. She still calls, like, when I'm dating someone, she still calls them, like, oh, how's your friend? Mm-hmm. And so I completely, completely get it. I think it has a lot to do with, like, that generation and how they were brought up, especially, like, with me and my family being from the South.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's one of those things where you just, like, don't ask, don't tell. I mean, I hate to say it like that, but it's just, like, that's how they were raised in the church. It's not something you talked about. Even I feel like when I had boyfriends in high school and stuff, mm-hmm. like she would say boyfriend and everything, but then when I came out, it was hard for her, but she like became more, you know, understanding, comfortable, and like accepting, but also there's still that part of her that it's just so embedded with like that generation, I feel like, to where they're not comfortable with like saying my daughter's girlfriend or mm-hmm. my daughter's wife kind of thing. Because there was like one time, I will say, with my mom, God, again, I love my mom. We have a great relationship. There's the only time she ever asked about like my dating life was when we were at the beach this past summer, and we had had like anyone have had a few drinks mm-hmm. and we were just relaxing. It was day one. We'd just gotten there at Gulf Shores and it was beautiful. And then she's just sitting there, she's like, well, how are you dating anyone? Like, what's going on? And I told her about this person. And I was like, well, and I kind of held back because we had made things official. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I held back and she kept talking and being all like, you know, how, like not normal, but just like I felt comfortable talking to her about it. And finally I was like, yeah, no, we actually made things official. She's my girlfriend. And she like started mm-hmm. doing the whole Casey's got a girlfriend. I was like, oh, I mean, that's a moment. I'm going to take that to heart. Like, that's never really happened before. Because in the past, well, one, she didn't like my ex, like my previous long-term one, just because she saw how mm-hmm. everything was and she just didn't like her like that. But also, you know, I kind of took what I could get. And then after that, you know, I never really heard her ask about my dating life or mention girlfriend. It was always, oh, how's your friend? Mm-hmm. And even though me and this person are no longer together, it's just like, it's only when we're vibing, like having a cocktail or something, where she's just like, mm-hmm. so what's your dating life? Like, how's that going?
Mm-hmm. So. Do you think that's something you'll bring up like in your next relationship? Like, hey, it would mean a lot if you said girlfriend, or is it something where it's just kind of like, my mom is my mom?
I mean, I've talked about this in therapy. I have, because mm-hmm. I'm just like, I don't understand. Like, I wish like she would talk to me about stuff like that. But also, it's just like, I also have a community of like amazing friends who I consider family mm-hmm. that are either allies or like a part of the community that I can go to and talk to about this stuff. And so for this person, like, I know it's hard, and I know you've like kind of talked to your mom in passing about it and can get a little heated, but at the end of the day, like, if you have a community surrounding you that loves you and accepts you for who you are, that's, I mean, take that, but also look at the positive. You have a family still that isn't like excluding you from family activities or like banishing you for being who you are, being gay, being lesbian, whatever, like whatever you identify as, like they're not telling you otherwise. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I guess some people might say, hey, like the fact that they're not like accepting, we're not like using girlfriend or boyfriend as like a way of them thinking it's accepted. I honestly, like, I understand it can hurt, but also think of the people whose, like, actual blood family have, like, kicked them out of the homes, kicked them out from family functions just for being who they are.
Yeah, no, I definitely think there's, like, an action speak louder than words, like, everyone's accepting him. And I also just kind of saw randomly, like, kind of myself in that listener email, because I have a mom who, and it's not so much, like, you know, obviously, like kids are all heterosexual, but it's, I think it's honestly more of like a not wanting to accept she's getting older. Like she, I swear to God, has called significant others like the very special boy, or like, oh, a special boy. And she says it in this sing-songy way. And like, she's never just said like, this is my daughter's boyfriend or significant other. Like, it's never like she can never use a serious term to describe like anybody, like anyone that I've been dating, even like to this day. Same goes for my sister. And I think like one time I actually kind of was like, mom, like, you realize, like, because I have an aunt and then cousins where, you know, my aunt is very, you know, conscious of making sure she chooses, like, age-appropriate terms to, you know, make sure people know her kids are adults. Right. And I think, it, like, in the family sometimes, I'm like, people perceive my cousins as, you know, older and more mature because of how she talks about them. And I've had to have, and it turned into a whole thing of, like, you know, I just want my kids to be little forever. And, you know, it's just, it's meant to be nice. And so I do think, like, if she was doing this in high school to boys you went to the prom with, like, it's, I think, like, you can be confident it's meant to be nice. I think, like, there is, I think, room maybe for a history lesson. I think a bit like, hey, like, you know, I know you're being sweet with this, but just FYI, like, you know, these are sometimes things that, you know, homophobic parents maybe use when they are like, it kind of takes you back to the time of, you know, people saying, you know, oh, they're just like roommates or something like that, like, to describe,
right.
You know, like, yeah.
No, I get exactly what you're saying. And on top of that, it's just like, for this person, when, like, your mom has brought it up, or like when you've brought it up to your mom, is it just like in passing, or like is it like a quaint sit down, like you're both having like a drink kind of conversation? Because I feel like if it's in a situation where there's like, like your surroundings are very busy, mm-hmm. like that's where just like the whole like cop back will come from, like, the parent will be like, why don't you just chill, kind of thing, like there's a lot going on around you.
Yeah.
But if it's just like a chill vibe, like, hey, you know, mom mm-hmm. or dad, I love you and I'm really happy that you're like accepting of me and everything, but can we talk about this?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want to understand why you say this mm-hmm. instead of like, this upsets me, why, like, I don't like that you do this. It should be like, let me hear like your perspective, like why this mm-hmm. and kind of get an understanding, and then y'all could work through that.
Yeah, exactly. And I think there's also like room to be fun, like if it happens in the moment, like if she's like, oh, here's her special friend Jane, you can always be like, special friend, like what is this, like, I don't know, like the Special Olympics or something, this is my girlfriend Jane, like you can kind of jump in and make it fun in a way where your mom maybe feels put on the spot, and it's like, okay, maybe I won't do that again. That's always like worked for me, is like in moment, like always making it fun, not like, mom, it's girlfriend. Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
You could go as far as to be like, yeah, no, this is my mom's like legally documented, like a significant other.
Yeah. Like making a fun joke out of it if you're a humor person.
Yeah, that I am. That I am. But I mean, hey, just gotta take baby steps with that. And like, it's awesome that you were able to come out in high school too, like kudos, because I didn't come out until my junior year of college
mm-hmm.
and that I had to like fall flat on my face for
mm-hmm.
but at the same time, like now being in my 30s, I like, I'm very grateful for like having the accepting parents and sister and friends that I have surrounding me. Like, again, person in the mailbag, like hold your community close and just have a chill vibey conversation. You know what, just bring a cocktail to your mom, just be like, hey, I need you, like, just get her perspective, because for some reason parents love giving their perspective.
Yep.
God, I mean, love them, but they love giving their perspective on why they do certain things, and then after that, that's how you work through it.
Mm-hmm.
God, I hope my sister's proud, because she's a counselor now, and that felt very, like, counselor-like.
Yeah. How many years apart are you guys?
4.
Okay, nice. Yeah. Annabelle and I are 2. Wait, she's older, right? Or younger?
My sister, yeah. She's okay. Older.
Nice. Nice. Wait, where does she live?
Longview.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, she's still there, but, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, for me, I have, like, that separation between, like, my family and me, where I'm here and I have my support system
mm-hmm.
and I mean, I have them there too, but also like for the listener, the person that sent in the mail mm-hmm. thing, like if you're located in a different city, like hang on to that support system there.
Yes, no, definitely. And it sounds like, I mean, it sounds like a great family, like they're doing family, they all go to Cancun for a week, like I hear that, I'm like, oh my God, like, adopt me, please. I mean, and it sounds like they're being nice. Like, I honestly, like, I do get the impression that maybe they heard special friend. They're just like, I guess that's what we're going by. Like, they're probably just trying to be nice. I really think that. And if you were to find a way to say, like, oh, it's girl, like, as casually as possible, like, it's girlfriend. Like, they would probably be receptive. Like, yeah. The more normal it is.
Yeah. I mean, I still have family members on certain sides of the family that I'm just like, yeah. Like, when they ask about, like, why don't I have a boyfriend? Like, I'll play along with it just because, like, I don't want to pick that fight, especially during a family gathering. And two, like, I've done so much work on myself, and I've also been out for so long, and being where I'm from, like, I don't let stuff like that bother me anymore. Mm-hmm. That's just kind of, like, how it is for that certain generation. And so, like, for me, I grew up very much being told respect your elders. Mm-hmm. And so I will still do that, even if they, like, miss, I guess, sexual orientation me, like, by saying, like, where's your boyfriend? Why don't you have a boyfriend? Like, I'll play along with it just because, like, I really don't want them to kick over if I say, oh, you mean girlfriend? Like, and also, like, I don't want to start, like, a whole, like, chaotic argument if I were to say that, which I know that kind of contradicts everything I just said earlier, but also that's just, like, how I perceive it because, again, I'm just very fine with myself and where I am, and I've also done a lot of work on myself to where I don't let stuff like that bother me anymore.
Totally. And if that is anyone's situation, like, if that's a way that you protect your peace, like, you're kind of, like, you know, it would be great if this person was accepting, but at the same time, it's like, you know, maybe you think they're older, you know, like, why have this turn into an argument? Yeah, like, it's like, a-okay if you're kind of like, you know what? They don't need to know everything that goes on.
They're not going
to
change their opinion regardless if you try to correct them or not. Like, that's just how it is with certain generations. So, I mean, at the end of the day, keep your community close. Therapy is amazing. And, you know, just think of all the positives you have.
Yeah.
Like, don't hold on to, like, the thing. Yes, it can bother you, but just have that chill conversation. Mm-hmm. Get perspective.
Yeah. And I think those are all conversations that this listener can have in a way that's chill. Thank you so much for sharing that experience. Like, that was a good letter, and I really appreciate you sharing that.
Oh, yeah. Like, Mom, love you. Love you so much, but I understand some things are harder to talk about than others.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. Yeah. What subreddit am I on? Like, Sappho and her friend. Are you on that subreddit?
Sappho and her friends.
Oh, wait, have you? So it's like all of the in media, or just in general situations where, like, women are referred to as, like, oh, the roommates and friends who are doing this. It's like they were roommates.
Okay.
Like,
see, am I the most uneducated lesbian ever? Because I didn't know about
it's
that.
Like, from, like, old books and stuff. It's like, oh, the, like, how, like, Bert and Ernie or something, how people, they come to stuff like, oh, Bert and Ernie, the two roommates, and how, like, in media from the past, it was, they were roommates.
They were roommates, mm-hmm. I guess. I mean, if that's what helps you sleep at night.
That's how it was. I think, like, yeah, like, it's always, I don't know. I follow way too many subreddits, but yeah.
I don't really follow. I need to be more educated because I had no idea
in the weirdest subreddits in the entire world. The one, like, weirdest thing I've seen on Reddit, like, someone was like, what is the weirdest, like, fetish you've ever heard of? And someone's like, there's a guy on this, like, on Reddit that likes, is interested in, like, the caution, like, the wet floor signs. And then lo and behold, the guy, like, he, like, finds those posts that, like, reference him. He's like, yeah, I'm here. And he has a whole thing where he's like, he's like attracted to, like, those, like, caution wet floor signs. And he has, like, his whole account is, like, him, like, fucking the signs.
Okay. So this is a real, like, person. The signs have to be around when he's having sex. It's like,
no, he's,
he has to do the act to the signs.
Oh, he's, yeah, he's doing the act to the signs.
Okay. That's new. That's a new one.
Yeah, he exists. He's a interesting person.
Sounds like it.
I hope I haven't traumatized you enough too much to not go into our next letter. The next one is more of, like, I almost say it's, like, relationship adjacent, but it's, like, a lot about, like, female friendships and dynamics. And I feel like you have a fantastic group of friends. Like, you're great at navigating female friendships. So I thought you'd be a good person to help me with this one. So she just says, upset by best friend's wedding. I feel like this almost reads like one of those, like, am I the asshole letters, just because I feel like, I personally feel like this is extreme. But anyway, she writes, my 30 female best friend, also 30F, is getting married this fall, and she asked me to be a bridesmaid basically the day she got engaged. Her younger sister is maid of honor, but she even said that if it weren't for having one sister, she'd have asked me. We've known each other since kindergarten, but now live on opposite coasts, with her living about an hour from our hometown where the wedding's set to take place. We really only see each other once a year nowadays, but talk on the phone every other week. When she got engaged last summer, I'd been with my boyfriend for 4 months. We are still together and will be for 1.5 years by the time her wedding takes place. My friend has yet to meet him, but we've been talking about setting up a couple's trip somewhere in between both of us in the near future. Months ago, my friend called to give me a heads up that she's not doing plus ones, aside from married or engaged couples, due to budget and having a large family. And she said she hoped I'd understand. I was under the impression this was a hard and fast rule that applied to everyone. So while I was a bit bummed and not looking forward to traveling solo, I figured plenty of others would be in the same boat. Four of her other bridesmaids are also in relationships but not engaged or married, and I wouldn't be alone. But last week, my friend and her fiance hosted a Jack and Jill party, basically a joint bachelor party, in our hometown, which I made the trip for. When I got there, I was surprised to see that significant others of both sides of the bridal party were also in attendance, even those not engaged or married. At first, I thought they might have been included as this event was pretty informal, but quickly realized all present had been invited to the wedding. For lunch, my friend also seated me by one of the single groomsmen, who was clearly flirting until I casually mentioned my boyfriend, which seemed to surprise him. One of the other bridesmaids, who I didn't know that well, asked me which of the groomsmen I thought was cute and started to list off the single ones. When I said I have a boyfriend, she said she had no idea and asked why he wasn't with me. I was a little annoyed by both interactions, but honestly took this to mean the no plus ones rule change and I just missed the memo. I thought my boyfriend might be invited to the wedding after all. As the weekend came to an end, I had some alone time with my best friend and pretty casually said, hey, a few months back you said no plus one, so I was under the impression my boyfriend wasn't invited to this event or the wedding, adding that I'd love to change my RSVP to include him since things seem to have changed. She looked surprised and got snippy with me, asking where I got that idea, and basically scolded me for making assumptions. When I pointed out the 6 total unmarried bridal party significant others, she clarified they were invited guests and not plus ones. When I said my plus one would be my boyfriend and not a random date, she said she understood that, but she didn't know my boyfriend the way she knows the rest of the bridal party's boyfriends. All the girls in relationships, but not married, live locally, and they all regularly hang out as couples. So she considers the boyfriends friends of hers, and therefore they are invited guests and not plus ones. She added that she doesn't want strangers at her wedding. I was super caught off guard by this response, particularly since I was expecting it to be a friendly conversation about her finally meeting my boyfriend, and just sort of nodded along and agreed to her terms. But since getting home, I've had a bad taste in my mouth about all of this. Yes, no one's entitled to a plus one, but I've made multiple trips to attend her wedding-related events and spent a lot of money to celebrate her relationship, and it feels like she doesn't respect mine in exchange. The bigger thing, though, isn't just the no plus ones thing. It's that I basically committed to being a bridesmaid under different pretenses. It was presented as no plus ones, aka significant others, unless married or engaged in general. Not, you will be the only bridesmaid whose significant other can't come. If I'd known this earlier on, I might have even declined my friend's invitation altogether, but I'm learning this 2 months before the wedding. Backing out now, or maybe even getting upset, it would probably end a lifelong friendship. What do I do? Who is in the wrong? Also, what is the best way to communicate the seriousness of a relationship to those who haven't met your significant other? That was a mouthful. Thoughts?
I mean, when it involves a wedding, the bride's always right, y'all. Like, it's not your event. It's no one else's event but the bride's. But also, I could see where, like, you know, a lifelong friendship, that might have hurt. Jeez. Yeah, that was a mouthful.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's kind of like, well, was it a serious boyfriend?
She says they've been together over a year now, or it's like a year. It'll be a year and a half by the wedding. When they got engaged last summer, they were together 4 months. The wedding sounds like it's in the fall of this year.
Okay.
So they've been together. I don't know how long or serious the other friend's boyfriends are.
So I've my understanding, and this could have just been me spacing out too, like, I thought that the other bridesmaids, like, they were all engaged too.
She said there are six that are not engaged or married where their significant others are invited. It sounds like four bridesmaids, two groomsmen.
It feels like...
But they live locally and all hang out, so they're...
Okay, so she, like, knows them. But also, like, I could see how that would be a little unfair, honestly. I can. But also, it's at the same time, it's just, like, I've never been engaged, I've never been married. But I feel like when you're in the mindset of, like, planning things, you want it to be perfect, you don't want randos there. And, like, the wedding pictures, and then, like, a year later, like, let's say, God forbid, like, it ended. And you're just like, well, who's that random guy in there? Oh, it's my ex, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, there's a whole How I Met Your Mother episode about that, too.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I feel like in the midst of it, like, I say just kind of, like, go along with what the bride wants and, like, how she's envisioning her day, her wedding. But then maybe there's a time and place after the fact to talk to her about, like, well, what the hell, man?
Yeah. Because, like, I heard this and, like, maybe it's because, like, my current situation, I feel like I see it less so now. My situation isn't similar necessarily, like, or my current romantic situation where I'm, like, in a long distance relationship. And I feel like, now, like, everyone knows who Buddy is now and stuff like that. Like, we're very clearly, like, a unit when he's here. But, like, I think maybe earlier on, it was kind of, like, you know, long-distance boyfriend, where it's, like, a little bit of out of sight, out of mind. You know, maybe it wasn't, like, it didn't get the same, like, you know, treating as a unit the way people who lived here did.
Right.
Yeah, so, like, I think there is sort of that, you know, they don't see it. They don't see how serious the relationship is. I also don't know, like, you know, how seriously you talk about your significant other. Like, I hate saying that things like, you know, social media and posts matter or something like that. Or, like, you know, when you're talking to your friend on the phone, like, are you talking about yourselves in we terms? Like, are you using his name and stuff like that? Or is it kind of like, you know, you're talking in I terms and he's just there? Because, I mean, maybe she doesn't perceive the relationship as serious. Like, that's a possible thing. I do, like, what is frustrating that I think some brides do is it's like they don't want anybody random. Like, I don't want strangers at my wedding, all of that. But then it's like, I feel like that little, like, hard and fast rule, like, disproportionately affects, like, the people that don't live in the area who, right, you know, maybe don't want to travel alone. Like, going across the country, like, granted, it's, like, her hometown, it is a far distance to travel to, you know, attend a wedding. Like, I feel like those are the people that maybe would want a significant other there with them the most. The thing that would bug me more so is, like, okay, cool, my significant other is not invited, but can you acknowledge that, like, he exists by not, you know, putting me next to the single groomsman? And, or, you know, it seems like maybe she presented her as single when, you know, maybe she wasn't. That would be the thing that would bug me more than anything. Like, even just, like, not feeling acknowledged, like, on top of that.
Right. So, and it could just be the thing, like, maybe, like, I don't know, because the weddings I've been involved with, like, I was the random, well, the latest one that I went to, like, I was the random plus one,
mm-hmm.
and it's like, they didn't care, and it was a very bougie wedding, I will say,
mm-hmm.
but then with, like, my best friend, Shelby, like, you know her, like, she didn't care who you invited as long as you had fun, and I respect
that. Was Ashley's plus one.
Yeah, like, it's just one of those things where it's just, like, it's a wedding, it's supposed to be fun, but, like, again, there's that whole saying, you know, you do whatever the hell the bride tells you because it's her day. Even though she's getting married and there's another person involved, it's her day.
Yeah, and I do think that there's sometimes, like, I don't want to say brides, like, bridezilla, but I guess kind of bridezilla, where it's, like, the hard and fast rules where it's, like, if I let one person do it, like, they all get to, and I think maybe that clouds judgment. Like, I think there's somewhere it's like, if I let one person's significant other I haven't met come, that means I have to invite everyone. Or if I give this person a plus one, these people will all size each other up, and then, like, they're all going to want plus one. So therefore, this person that maybe really makes sense to get a plus one, I'm not going to give them one.
Well, no, that makes sense.
No,
it does. And there's also situations where, you know, the bride and groom are just like, we only want, like, close friends and family in the ceremony. Mm-hmm. The reception, like, it's free for all. Like, you can bring whoever, like, whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, that. I understand that. And it, because you want it to be very intimate with, like, the people that you know, mm-hmm. that you've been around for a long time. The reception, it's supposed to be a big party. Like, it's supposed to be fun. So even if you're meeting someone new, it's all in, like, not a serious mm-hmm. moment. It's, like, in a more, like, okay, like, the hard part, like, the ceremony where everyone's just, like, okay, like, this is super sweet. Like, we're crying, but can we get to, like, the food and the drinks mm-hmm. and stuff?
Yeah.
Like, it. I feel like you have to, like, there are moments like that in certain weddings, but it also depends on the person.
Yeah. And I feel like context does kind of hold some weight in how, you know, how triggered you should be by this. Like, I've known people, I've seen, like, and you see them pop up in, like, the New York Times, like, wedding Dear Annie columns where it's like, my maid of honor is upset I won't let her bring a plus one to my very small wedding of 200 people. It's like, that's not a small wedding. Like, of course, like, you know, like, versus, you know, micro wedding, 50 people, like, I mean, I don't even think that's a micro wedding, but, like that kind of thing where it's, yeah. like, that kind of thing, I think, plays a role. I think, like, if you want to say something, like, actionable to the friend, because first of all, like, it is kind of, like, I think it's a fair assumption. You go there, oh, we're no plus ones, and then you get there, and all these people are coming to the wedding, and you're like, oh, like, maybe the rules change. I missed the memo. Like, they all hang out all the time. Maybe it came up casually. I don't think it's weird. Like, I'm kind of like, why the friend scolding her? Like, why wouldn't she have that impression? Like, all of a sudden you tell her no plus ones, and then everyone there, they've got their significant others there that they're not married to. Like, and you say, like, oh, no plus ones, but if they're engaged, you're married, like, you know, whatever.
They're engaged and married, or I know them.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if she said that. Maybe, I don't know, maybe this listener missed that. But, like, maybe you called and say, hey, like, I hope I didn't give you the wrong idea that I was, you know, like, you know, presumptive, but based on what you told me X months ago, like, you said no plus ones, and, like, you know, these six people aren't married, so I thought maybe I missed a memo. Like, a lot of communication goes out, like, make it sound casual. And I would even say, like, kind of layer that in, like, layer in, yeah, like, you know, we've been trying to set up that, like, you know, trip with my boyfriend, your fiance. And, you know, maybe I just got overly excited because I really want you to meet him. It's gotten very serious with him. We've been together, you know, a year and a half or so now, and, like, kind of reiterating, like, use his name, call him your boyfriend. Like, don't, like, because that's the other thing that annoys me with, like, plus one versus invited guests is, like, if you have a significant other, they're not a plus one. They're your invited guests. Like, they're supposed to be, like, a named person.
Yeah, especially, okay, that makes sense, because if you're in the wedding party too, like, wouldn't that be, like, an invited guest?
I think if you have a significant other, like, the rule is married, engaged, living together, is automatically invited as a named guest. So it would be, you know, Charlotte Warren and Buddy Pearson, not Charlotte Warren and guests. Like, a plus one is for a truly single person to bring a guest. And that and guest means they can bring anyone. They can bring their boyfriend, girlfriend, if they find one or have one. It can be their random Tinder date. It could be a friend.
Okay.
But if they have an established significant other, you're supposed to listen by name, and that also kind of gives you the leeway. Like, I've known people where they're invited with their spouse, and the spouse can't come. Oh, can I bring my college roommate? And you can point to it and be like, no, this was for you and your husband. Like, yeah, they're supposed to be, like, a named guest. Like, where it's dicey is it's supposed to be, like, married, engaged, living together, or serious, like, long-term partner. It's like, what is the line for serious long-term partner? Like, if you're in an established relationship of 1 month, like, some people would be like, that's too new of a relationship. But do you draw the line at, like, 1 year? Like, do you have to make the judgment call of someone's relationship? Like, that's always where it's dicey.
Dude, weddings should not be that complicated, though.
It shouldn't.
Like, what the hell? Like, it's for so me, silly. Like, hearing everything, like, I'm very yin and yang about it. Like, mm-hmm. I understand, like, where the bride's coming from, but I also understand where the best friend from kindergarten's coming from, too. Mm-hmm. And it's just, like, conflicting, because it's just, like, why does it need to be that complicated? And it shouldn't.
Yeah.
I think there's a conversation to be had, like, after the wedding's happened, or if y'all are, like, having a drunk moment on the dance floor during the reception.
I also think, too, though, I'm like, this person is your friend for a reason. Like, I feel like there is a little bit of, like, I'm looking at it, and I'm like, why are you approaching it as though you're talking to your, like, aunt that you walk on eggshells with, that you have to be, like, you know, how's the weather today? Like, I'm assuming this is, like, your close friend, and you can talk to this person about anything. Yeah.
But at the same time, like, she said that they talk off and on.
Yeah.
So often. So maybe it's just, like, that whole, like, we haven't talked in a long time. I don't know. Like, it's hard for me to.
Yeah.
Makes sense. Because also, like, what if the bride's, like, the type of person that she's like, well, I don't know how this person is drunk, or, like, will they start drama?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know how, like, my best friend is, but also, like, will the person that she brings start something or get too drunk or, like, do something, or, like, what if I don't like him kind of thing?
Yeah. No, that is true. And, like,
added stress to her day.
Yeah. And, like, because I do think, too, like, when you've had someone that's a friend for that long, like, I think back to, like, my friends from high school, childhood friends, who I consider my closest friends, like, they're all married. Like, the three of them are married and either very heavily pregnant or they have, you know, babies. And I feel like I still see them as, like, solo acts, even though that they are married, more than I see my friends that are here who have just, like, boyfriends they're not married to. Like, I feel like it's, like, to me, like, those guys are a unit. And with them, just because I know that I knew them as singles for so long, by the time I moved, like, that's when they, like, you know, got very serious in their relationships, got married. And I love their husbands very much. They're great people. But it's like there wasn't that, like, hi, like, I'm, you know, like, Ashley. It's like Ashley and Corey, Hannah and Will, Sam and Michelle, like, they're units. Like, my friends from home, it's like, okay, it's, you know, so-and-so and her husband that she met later on. Like, so I think, like, it's easy to see maybe those, like, friends that you knew as a solo act. I don't know. Am I explaining that well?
No, you did. That makes sense. Like, the thing, and that kind of, like, segues into, like, what I said, too. Like, you know your best friend as, like, you know them, you know how they are, you know how they're going to be. But it's just, like, bringing a random person to your day that you've never met. Mm-hmm. Like, I can get to it. So it's just kind of, like, awkward for you. It's just, like, you don't want to have any awkward vibes on a big day.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, I yin and yang, man. Like, I feel for both sides. I really don't know what to tell this listener.
Yeah. Well, I still think it's helpful. Like, I think, like, just a, hey, like, you kind of have your, you know, I didn't mean to give you this impression. Like, yes, maybe it sounds like you're kind of, you know, saying I'm your bitch, like, here's an apology for something where it's kind of like, why be so mad about that? But just kind of your thing where it's like, hey, like, you point out facts, like, these, you told me X on this day and I took that to mean Y, and then I came and saw XY, like, you know, hey, they've got their partners here, and I just, you know, weddings are crazy. I thought maybe a rule had changed, and maybe I got too overly excited because so-and-so and I have been together for X amount of years. If you're living together, say that, because that's usually a hard and fast rule. We've been really trying to make that trip happen. Like, he is the best. Use the titles like boyfriend and partner and call him by name.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, maybe I got overly excited. If not now, like, let's set up that trip. Yeah, like, yeah.
I think the key word here today is perspective.
Yes.
Because literally, I feel like in every disagreement, if you're willing to listen to both sides and hear each other out, you'll end happier than ever.
Yes.
That's all there is to it. So, girly pop, just hang in there. Have a good time while you're there. There's a time and place to talk about it after.
Exactly. To infinity and beyond.
Oh, hell yeah,
that's like my favorite. Yeah. I love having you on. You're welcome on the show anytime if you ever want to bring friends and make this a triple act. Not an Eiffel Tower or a Devil's Triangle, whatever that is. That was a joke. But
anyway,
bye.